Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Well, Dr. Scripture, I understand you had quite a Father's Day a couple weeks ago.
Yes, Scott. We had the joy of having my son and daughter and their families visit us over the Father's Day weekend.
Now, you have 8 grandchildren. That must have been quite a houseful.
It sure was. And it was truly a special Father's Day. And something that added to the joy I had was talking to 2 of my grandsons, Bronson and James, about their experience at the Ark. My son Luke took his family to the Ark Encounter on their way up to our house, and the boys had a great time and shared with me some of what they learned as they toured the exhibits. The only disappointment was they had to leave before Ken Ham gave a talk about the biblical perspective on races. With all the recent racial tension, Mr. Ham was going to talk about the subject of the book he co-authored with Dr. Charles Ware, entitled One Race, One Blood.
Well, now, that's an amazing coincidence.
What is?
That you mentioned Ken Ham and the book One Race, One Blood. I just interviewed both authors of that book, Dr. Charles Ware and Ken Ham, for a different radio program I'm involved with.
Wow, that's fantastic. Can we hear it on our Scripture on Creation program?
Well, sure, but like I said, I interviewed both men, and combined, it's pretty lengthy.
Well, at least let's hear part of your interview with Ken Ham.
Recently, I spoke with Dr. Charles Ware of Grace Relations regarding the current racial tension in America. He pointed out the idea that there is only one race of human beings. We're all related. Bible believers have known this for centuries, but it's taken a while for mainstream science to catch up. Dr. Ware also mentioned that he was one of the authors of One Race, One Blood, his co-author being internationally known writer and speaker Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. Unfortunately, we didn't get to everything we wanted to address in that discussion, so I've asked Ken Ham himself to join me over the phone and finish that conversation. Welcome, Mr. Ham.
Hey, it's great to be with you, and I love talking about this topic. It's very important.
Yes, it is, and we thank you for picking up where Dr. Ware left off. Now, let's dive into our topic today. What does the Bible have to say about the origin of the so-called races?
Well, you know, if you think about it very carefully, the Bible makes it clear, 1 Corinthians 15:41, Adam was the first man. Genesis 3, verse 20, Eve was the mother of all the living. So the Bible's history is that everyone is a descendant of Adam and Eve. And remember, we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every tribe and nation. In fact, in Revelation 14, you read about the angel having the everlasting gospel to preach to every nation, every tribe, every language. We also read in Revelation that one day there's going to be standing before the throne of God this countless number of people from every tribe, every nation, every language, clothed in white robes. You see, because the gospel is for us all because we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. God's Son stepped into history to be a member of the human race, called the God-man, the babe in a manger, to be a descendant of Adam, to die for the descendants of Adam, to be the perfect man. He's called the last Adam, to take the place of the first Adam. So the point is, only descendants of Adam can be saved. Only Adam's race can be saved. But everyone is a member of Adam's race, and the Bible makes that clear. Every tribe, every nation, every language. And when you consider the history in the Bible, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave rise to all the people. Then at the time of the flood, all were judged because of their wickedness, except 8 who got on board that ark, came off the ark. And then about 150 years after the flood, there would have been about 1,000 people by then. And, of course, today there's billions, but, you know, population growth is exponential. It's easy to get the population of the world today from just 8 people getting off that big ship 4,300 years ago. But about 150 years after the flood, people rebelled against God again. So he gave different languages. And you read there in Genesis 10, there are 70 different family groups, so presumably 70 language groups that then moved away from each other and develop different cultures. And of course, over time, there's been all sorts of conquests and people mixing with others and so on. And we have all the different nations of the world that we have today. But we all go back to Noah and then back to Adam. All that means is we're all one biological race. You know, if you want to talk about races, you could talk about spiritual races. The Bible talks about those who gather and those who scatter, those who are for Christ, those who are against, those who build a house on the rock, those who build a house on the sand. So from a spiritual perspective, there's two different races, the saved and the unsaved. But there's only one biological race, which means all people are equal before God. We're all the one family. We're all sinners. We all need the same solution, Jesus Christ. And we all need to treat each other as family. So when it comes to, you know, people talking about racial reconciliation, well, as Dr. Ware says, we need grace relations, not race relations, because there aren't any different races. There's only one race. It's the human race. It's Adam's race. So that's important for us to understand, that we're all together in this. It's not us and them, as Dr. Ware would say. It's us and us, because we're all members of the human race.
And as I recall, you don't even like that term race necessarily. You like to use terms like people group.
Exactly. Because the other thing that many people don't realize, I'll tell you what is fascinating to me. If you look at what's happening in America today, and people are, you know, making all sorts of racist claims, oh, this person made a statement they consider racist in their past, so we're removing their statue, or we're banning these books from libraries because they made some sort of statement years ago that someone says is the connotation was some sort of racism or something, or they're banning this particular TV program, Little House on the Prairie or whatever it is, because in their time some people thought this way or whatever. You know, the fascinating thing is this. If you want to read some of the most racist statements you could ever read, it's in the material by Charles Darwin. I mean, Darwin is exalted in our public education system, and he's considered almost a god to be worshipped, so to speak. And yet, if you read Darwin's book, The Descent of Man, he actually talks about higher races and lower races, savage races, and that the more advanced races that he considered were people with light skin, you know, like he would say Caucasians, we're going to eliminate the savage races, that the Australian Aborigines and certain people from Africa with dark skin were closer to the apes than he would call the Caucasians and so on. Even in 1925, a major biology textbook used in the public schools in America by a man called Hunter actually taught public school students, based on Darwin, that there were five races of man and the Caucasians were the highest. I mean, how is that for racism? And you see, Darwinian evolution inherently is a racist philosophy and has been used to justify all sorts of racist attitudes. Even Hitler used Darwinian evolution to justify what he did to the Jews and others. So here's people out there saying, oh, we need to ban these people, these books, or get rid of these statues or whatever. Wait a minute, why aren't they banning Darwin then? Because if you want some really racist stuff, that's where you can find it.
True enough. Just like the term race, the term color is not exactly appropriate either, is it?
No, and this is where people don't really understand this, but let me say it to you this way. There's no truly, really black people, and there's no really true white people. You know, I say to people, you know, when I'm lecturing at a conference, look, I can prove to you that I'm not technically a white person, and I can do it in 1 second. I stand there and hold up a white sheet of paper beside my face and I say, see, I'm not a white person. And they all laugh. They get it. We actually all have a pigment in our skin, and the pigment is called melanin. Now, there's a few other pigments, but the main pigment we have is melanin. A couple of forms of it, but melanin is basically a brown pigment. So in actual fact, every human being is brown, and it depends on how much brown you have. In the epidermis of our skin, we have these cells that are like upside-down umbrellas. That's sort of what they look like, and they have little organelles in there, and they make this pigment melanin. Now, if you have genes that say you make a lot of melanin, you'll be very dark. If you have genes that say you make a little bit of melanin, you'll be very light. You know, Adam and Eve, God probably gave them maximum genetic diversity, probably were middle brown, but children could have been light through to dark in one generation. I mean, there are many twins in the world today, many examples of twins. I show pictures of them in my talks. We have one that's dark and one that's light. How could that be? Well, if you have a middle brown couple, as an example, and they have a mixture of genes, you know, dominant recessive genes for the amount of pigment in your skin, well, if one of those twins got lots of dominant genes for a lot of melanin and one got the recessive genes for a little bit of melanin, then one can be very dark and one light. That only takes one generation. And actually, what is very interesting, even people who claim they're white supremacists and all the rest of it, they don't realize that it's very possible for many of them that 3-4 generations ago, it doesn't take that long, actually, a few generations ago, you could have had a very dark-skinned person in your ancestry. The other thing is that people don't get that what we see on the outside reflects very little of our genetic diversity. In fact, the percentage of genes reflected in our external appearance, which is the basis by which people have talked about race, looking at your external appearance, is like 0.01%. I mean, it is so small, yet we major on those particular things. Actually, as human beings, we share 99.9% of our genes. You see, we're all one race. When the Human Genome Project mapped the human genome in the year 2000, they released their findings to the world, and they said, guess what we found? There's only one race. And so differences like skin color are really just minor differences on the outside, and with color, it's really skin shade, not color. It's a matter of what shade we are. You remember when we learned that chorus at church, Jesus loves the little children, yep. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. If you think about it, a chorus like that is actually creating division, in a sense, and gives wrong ideas that we're so different. I tell people the wording of that chorus should go like this. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Shades of brown from dark to light, all are precious in his sight. Because that then gives the idea of unity in the sense we're all one race. They're just minor variations we see on the outside in regard to our skin shade. And these things are known by the secular world. I personally think that there are many politicians. They know, scientifically, the scientists know, we're all one race, the differences are very minor, the major differences are cultural, and that's really what we're seeing happening in various ways. And the answer to all of this is the fact that if we don't get back to the true history of the human race from the Bible, from God's Word, and the true history of understanding who we are, and the problem we've all got called sin, and unless we have that history concerning creation and the Tower of Babel and understand we're all sinners and the message of the gospel, you're never going to deal with racism in our culture. They can pass all the laws in the world, but it's never going to help because you've got to have the right history and a right understanding of who we are. And, you know, that's true of everything. When you're looking at racism and gay marriage and abortion, LGBTQ, euthanasia, they're all the same problem. The problem is if you don't start from God's word and the foundational history in Genesis, you've got no foundation for your doctrine, for your Christian worldview, because once you start from that foundation, then you've got the right way of thinking about all these areas.
Well, Scott, I know there was more to your interview with Ken Ham, but I sure appreciate what we heard today. It was excellent. Thanks so much for sharing it with the Scripture on Creation audience. You know, I think my favorite part was his suggestion to alter the words of the chorus, Jesus loves the little children, from red and yellow, black and white, to shades of brown from dark to light, all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And that's not what I said. That's what Ken Ham said.